Parshas Vayetze. Parsha starts off, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er-Sheva. Yaakov left Be'er-Sheva, Vayelech Charana, and he went to Haran. Rashi explains that what is the seeming double washing of that he went, he left and he went. Rashi explains because, of course, he went, but it's trying to say that he left, in other words, that normally a tzaddik makes a reishim on a place, but when he leaves, then pana hoida, pana ziva, pana adara, then his reishim leaves as well. That's Rashi's pshat. Okay, so Levi gave an alternative pshat. If we look at the... Yes. Yes. The Beis HaLevi gives an alternative shot. He says at the end of Parshas Toldos, there are really two things going on. We know Rivka, masterminding everything, is sending Yaakov away in order to be away from Esav. But she tells Yitzchak, oh, Kasi Bechaya, I don't want him to marry. And even though she sort of masterminded it, but it becomes Yitzchak's mantra that, yes, of course, Yaakov can't marry anyone from here. He's got to go. So there were really two things that were going on when he left. There are really two things going on. That he's leaving because of Esav. And he's going to get a shidduch. So Zok the Beis HaLevi, that's the Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, also his mother. Just get out of here. Get out of here. Get away from Esav. Vayelech Charana, he went specifically to Haran. That's because of Yitzchak. So it's both, these are alluding. You look at the end of Parshas Toldos, the Pesukim are also Mavur trying to say that, but that's at least the answer for the wording of the Pasuk in this week's Parsha. Okay, so we know that in the middle here gets stuck the 14 years. All right, the 14 years that he learned by Yeshivas Ever. Right? Mimidaik in the Lashon. This Rashi says, Vayishka b'makam ahu Lashon miut, v'yisim makam shachal, v'yudal tshom shishimish b'veis Ever l'yishachal balayla. We mentioned this last week already, maybe a couple weeks ago, that you find different times. Sometimes it's called Yeshiva Shem Ever, sometimes just Yeshiva Shem, sometimes just Yeshivas Ever. It could depend that Shem definitely died first. It could depend on that. But Al-Kabanim, that's first of all pointing out that yes, this was in Yeshivas Ever. Now, what was the heter for him to go ahead and learn? He had a tzivui, good, Al's his mother, so he's away. Al's Esav, but Al's his father, Yitzchak said, go get married. How's he allowed to do this? So, Shalom Shechter wanted to... What? Good. So you skip to that answer already. That Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said that the limud of Yeshivas Ever was the limud of Galus, different than the Torah that one could have gotten from Avram Yitzchak, and therefore it was preparing for Lavan, and that's why it was a chelik of the tzivu. You got to go. So okay, I got to prepare to go. I have to take my toothbrush. So also I gotta be prepared for the elements that I'm gonna meet there, whether Gashmis or Ruchnis. Chavetz Chaim answers that he knew that Lavan was a Ramai, was a trickster, and he would be there for a very long time, and therefore he learned whatever he was able, I guess, is sort of also building up that even though it's a little bit different than the last Teretz, of that there was the actual preparation that it for sure goes into Yitzchak, but even this, I guess, that if Yaakov felt that he's going to be able to be Mekayim properly, then he has to do that. But interesting answer of Shalom Shechter want to suggest, there's a Machlekes in the Gemara Kedushin, whether a person should learn first or get married first. What should be, I don't know exactly what learn encompasses finishas. I don't know exactly when the stopping is. Some of them, Mefarshim, will explain over there. But anyways, the Gemara comes out saying halon v'lalahu, that basically depends, Bavel or Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos ends up saying that in Bavel, where they were on Niyam, therefore, you're going to need to work in order so there should be money for the family. Therefore, you got to learn first, because if you're not going to learn now, when are you going to learn? Right away, you're going to get married. You're going to be out of the house needing to work to support the family. But the people in Eretz Yisrael, they had money. Therefore, you can get married first, and then you'll have the opportunity to learn because you'll be able to support. Oh, so the male over here, Yaakov really left with money. Then we know Eliphaz stole it from him. So first, it's true. His thing was, all right, I gotta go get married first because I have the money to support my family anyways. But then when it turned and it became that, no, now he's an ani, whoops, now I gotta learn first because right when I get married, I'm gonna have to go out and work. Okay, interesting answer. Yeah. Okay, fine. Now, Rashi says that he wasn't punished for the 14 years. He was only punished for the 22. Right? Now we know. He wasn't punished. Those 14 years are like out of the cheshbon. Only for the 22. Yitzchak was mitzavim to go. So why was he punished? So Rabbeinu Bachai says in this week's parasha, you could say that Yitzchak and Rivka wanted him maybe to marry Leah. And maybe Lavan would have allowed that to go through right away. He wanted Rachel, so male, it's his problem that all these years lasted like this. The seven and the love and throw on and the other seven, and he got stuck. The Chizkuni answers, and the Marshal also says, that Rivka really sent her Menekes right after the 14 years, and he didn't want to go then. Even though it seems like he's ready to go, but we know what happens. It's later in this week's parasha. Schar? Okay, fine. You know what? I'm going to stay on now to get the payment. What are you staying on to get the payment if your mother already sent the Menekes right now? It's therefore he got punished. The Kliyakar says the Yaakov, whatever this means, Yaakov went out al-das not to come back. So it's also not a chelka that Tzivoy. Similar to the answer of the Chizkuni is, I always thought the pshat is that, good, the whole 14 years, you're working. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Your parents said, go get shidduchim. This was, unfortunately, what ended up being the prerequisite to go get those shidduchim. But why are you playing with your own money now for 6 years? Now you're going to spend 6 years getting the sheep. That shows that the whole thing was your interest, not your father's interest. If it's not your father's interest, then the whole thing was your interest, then Mamel, it shows the whole 22 years. It's called the Gemara Bava Basra, Gemara Bava Kama, that says that if someone builds three walls around you, you don't got to pay him. Say, I didn't want it. That was your problem. You wanted it. If you go build the fourth wall, now you got to pay half of the entire thing because it shows that you're nachas to the whole thing. So it's over here. By him staying on those extra six years, now it changes over the entire 22. So Agav of the earlier thing, they shtel su with the fact that you want it now. It says in the Mishnah of Avos, Balkarchach ata Neiland, Balkarchach ata Chai, Balkarchach ata Meis. Could be there's one more in there that I'm missing. So mainly you go ahead and you're Chai for your whole life. Question is, if everything is against your will, then why are you being held accountable? Answer is, because good, the first parts of life you had nothing to do with. But if at the end of life you're saying, no, I don't want to die, that's like that building that fourth wall. Now you're showing that the entire thing, you really are nachas to.
What if a guy does
want to
die?
I guess the Mishnah is talking about the normal way, or maybe the neshama, where the neshama is holding. So right, what's it called? Who better than Moshe Rabbeinu? Who better than Moshe Rabbeinu that his neshama had to be coaxed out of the body? Even the neshama had no interest in leaving. Like the Medrash says at the end of the Torah.
Yeah, Moshe spoke to Hashem.
No, but he didn't want to. The neshama didn't want to leave. Even so,
didn't want to leave. But saying I that didn't
right.
Told me
they're done.
They don't want to be here.
They're done. I hear. I hear you. Okay. Fine. Vayikach me avne hamakam, right? Yaakov takes from the stones. So, famous Chazal, that they were a bunch of stones around his head. They got together in the middle of the night. They were fighting, and now it's one stone. So,
it was 12 stones that became one stone.
Yeah, yeah. What does it help? Lamaisa, his head is still on one specific spot. So how does it help that they all joined together? Seemingly, the Medrash is that, okay, you have a bunch of stones over here. Zoop, they just happen to connect. So what does it help? I mean, maybe you didn't see the outlines, but what does it help? He's still only on one spot. You, Mr. 1, 2, 3, won't be under there anyways. It's still only on number 7. So there, the Imri Emma says that Lamaisa, when there's Achtos, then there's no period. There's nothing separating them. And therefore, it's good. Lamaisa, everyone's together now, so he's on you, but okay, but Lamaisa, we're not separated. The problem was when they were separate. Yeah, what were we saying? Oh, very good. Exactly. Very good. Yeah.
They all want the schut to go the way
you have. Exactly, exactly. So now that they're all connected, even though he still is on one specific spot. Okay. Fine. So now in Hilchos Tefillin, Siman Mem Beis, it says like this. You're not allowed to change your Shel Rosh to your Shel Yad. Right? Because you're going from a higher level to a lower level.
Cut out all the compartments.
What?
Cut out all the compartments.
What's it talking about over there? Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it's talking about the Ritzua. He says Vafilu HaRitzua. So maybe it means the Ritzua. That's a little bit easier to hear, but even so. Okay. The Brehetiv says that even on your Shel Yad itself, switching that the knot with the yod is over here, taking that and flipping it over, that now your etzbayis were wrapped around here, what this end is getting up here and the yod is getting put down here, even that you can't do, even though you're not going into tefillin. So the Eli Rabba says, now he wants to say not like this. Why? Because by Yaakov Avinu, it says, Avne Yaakov, and the question gets asked, what does it help? What does it help that they all got to, that they all got together? Lemaisa, he's still in one spot. He wants to answer that Vayis Ois, when something's together, then there's no specific spot. There's no, you're on the northern part of it, you're on the southern. You're on this. That's what he's answering to the big stone of Yaakov. You don't see that you're on this spot anymore. You're on the rock. They're all a part of that rock. Mimela, he wants to bring a raya from there. That so too with the Ritzu, maybe the other cases of the Tefillin, yes, would be a problem. But he wants to say that this would not be a problem switching the Yud to the fingers and the fingers up to the Yud because it's all the same strap. It's all the same Ritzua. And you see a Raya from Yaakov that in one object, the placement does not make a difference. Similarly, that the Atara of the Talis, that there should be, you're always supposed to have the talus facing the same side. In other words, whatever side you put up always, that could be a makar for that tara. Anyways, but it says that Arizal wasn't makbid. I don't know necessarily if it was a makbid on that tara, but he wasn't necessarily makbid on that the talus should be any certain way every single time. They explain, just like this, just like by the Avnei Yaakov, that the answer is that we're answering value around, but that once you have one object, it makes no difference the exact place. You're on this, so to buy the talus. This is the talus. There's no up, right side up, upside down, no such thing. The Shari Tshuva argues, and he says that first of all, the whole thing was a Maisa Nisim. How do you know it means that they all attached? Maybe it became one big mumble jumble, and therefore every part that Yaakov's head is really on a part of every stone.
On everyone, yeah.
And therefore, there's no Raya to Eli Rabba. Now that you can't bring rice from Asmachtas and from Agadas. And Ribeiro also had a possible raya that it means that the Gemara means that they all mix totally up, not just them, that they happen to have connected, and therefore so you tzarich Ian on the Eli Rabba's raya, and I guess that's what Shari Tshuva is bringing a raya to the Berhetiv, and those who bring that you wouldn't be able to switch the Ritzua. That you wouldn't be able to switch it.
Is there anything written about the ladder?
Yeah. Now, how does it help? He puts it around his head. Has it help for his body? He's worried about wild animals. Oh, great, your head's hidden. What about the rest of your geshmaka meaty body that's sitting out to everyone?
Yeah, the head is the most important.
Okay. The Altar of Kelm said that he did. His establish was to try to be Mimayit the Nace. That's our job in life, not necessarily to go ahead once a call. But
do what we can.
Exactly. Do what we can. More than that, what are we supposed to do?
Okay.
The Taz asked the question, and the answer is that Avada was around the entire body. Just the Torah is telling about the head, because that's where the fight was. Now, the Sulam. How many rungs did that have? Yeah,
kid. Wait, what do you mean it was around the whole body? The rock?
Really? The rocks were in there? Of course, he was a smart guy. He put 40 rocks around his entire body. Okay. But as far as the head, that's where the main mumble jumble was. Why not the rest of the body? I guess they decided at least they're around Yaakov. But around the head, then you have almost like a little bit of a chutzpah. Excuse me, hello, an inch over and he would have been on me. Maybe that's how it, maybe that's what he means.
There's a guy.
Yeah.
Good Eretz Yisrael, there's a full moon.
Okay.
So he picks you up in a hotel in a jeep. Range Rovers, 3-4 Range Rovers, takes a whole 20, 25 people, drives you into the desert at night, full moon. Animals everywhere.
Mom says that.
Everywhere.
Wow. So, yeah, you're saying this is not Stam. This is not Stam. No matter where, no matter where this punk was, whether
day, you don't see anything.
Right.
Night.
Right.
Full.
Right. Right.
So they don't want to go out in the sun.
Right. Right. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Fine. Now about the ladder. So just before we say for a second about the rungs on the ladder, what we were going to say is that. The famous Rashi, well, first of all, give over Rashi, right? That the Yerushalayim is in the middle of it. In other words, its middle is over Yerushalayim. And the bottom of it, and the bottom of it, and the top of it, those are the places that we're referring to about Luz and Beis Kel. That's how Rashi works out the entire Cheshbon. That, of course, there were three separate places. But Ramban argues on him and says Rashi is putting two midrashim together, and he says rather it's either one or the other. Either it was. One second. Ramban's basically working with two cities. There's no such thing as the middle. One of his main questions is, what does the middle represent? Agav, I think the Chizkuni, they have a picture in some of the Chizkunis. They want to show that that was more like a ladder that had a support beam on it. That could be why there was significance in the middle. But Akapan, the Ramban works with two, works with splitting up the places. Okay, another point about the ladder is that Rashi's Lashon from Chazal is that Yaakov Avinu really got to Haran. Then he realized, how could it be that I passed the place? He started walking back, and then there's Kvitzas Aderech. Aracham, why didn't Hashem stop him then? Why does Hashem stop him right then, when he's passing? So that's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara answers, he didn't put his heart on it. The Shemaim couldn't stop him. Once he actually thought about it, that's when he had Kvitzas Aderech, and then the Har moved towards him. Kfi Rashi's Kanta Mahalach. What's going on? You see, almost what we were saying before about being the might, about that we have to do ours. Hashem is ready to do every single thing for us, but He's not going to do any of it until we turn the key. Turn the key, open the door. Littlest bit, Hashem says. Littlest bit, open that door. Then I'm ready to pour everything on you. So Mimela, in this case, Yaakovino passed it. He wasn't. It was all sitting there, but he wasn't aware of it. So you're not getting any of it. But now that you got to Haran, Oyve, I have to go back. You started going back. Great, I'm ready to open everything. Let's go. They even make mountains move. Literally, that's what happened. According to Rashi, at least, that was the Kvitzas Aderech. Fine, now how many rungs were on this ladder? So the one measure says three, the Malbim says there were four, the Mer Nevuchim B'Shem Tanchuma says four or seven, another Mandarmer says 12, like 12 Shvatim. The Ramban says that there were many different rungs kifi the Gullius. In other words, that's why there's a measure that people say over, the kids say over, whatever. The first Malach went up 70 rungs. Like the years above him. Then he went back down. Then he went up, and each one went up. The years of Yavon Vahu, and then the Edom, the last one, he saw going up and up and up and up and not stopping. And Yaakov Avinu almost gave up. Said, it's going up. What was it? Shem said, don't worry. I'll be with you. That's the whole bracha that I'll be with you. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. This too will end. This too will end. That's definitely the picture that we were painting on our head right away from the Pesukim, but the Ramban is saying that it was actually, there was a Seder Advarim Tzot. So one Malach go up and then come down. That was the end of the Gullus. And another. Now where are these from? Where are these Malachim from? Why are they? Okay, right. The Pashup Shad is that they have to switch. You have Malachim of Eretz Yisrael. They're not going to Chutzarts. They're going up. And the other Malachim from Shamayim, ready to go in Chutzarts, are coming down and ready to go there. The Targum Yonasan and the Medrash say that these are the Malachim that said that they were going to destroy Sodom. He says, "Ki mashchisim anachnu, we are destroying Sodom." Hashem said, "You? Come on, you're malachim. That's not on your level. You shouldn't be saying such things that sound like you're doing something. You should have said Hashem, and you look later afterwards. I was medayik this time. Let's go there. A few seconds later, it says Hashem will destroy. So since they said them, that's why they lost their wings, and that's why they were stuck here until they had to go up. There's a rush, a very interesting rush, I'll tell you, at the end of Bereshit, that says that the Bnei Elikim were walking around at the end of Bereshit. You had all these giants, and they saw Kitoivais Hena, that the girls were beautiful. So the rush says that what happened was that these malachim came down, right? Okay, Stam was that we know that there's another Rashi from Chazal that says this, that malachim came down and they thought they would be able to pass the test of dealing with the Tznius and the women, and they weren't able to. But anyways, the Rush brings down as follows. Uvimedrish toibasksiv. Pretend there's a vav missing. Meaning that there was one girl and she was extremely beautiful and she was a tzaddikus. So the Bnei Elikim came to her and said, listen to us. And she said, I'm not going to listen to you unless you do one thing. Give me your wings. So they gave her wings. Miyad, she took those wings and flew to Shemayim and said to Hashem, please save me from this Aveira. Hashem, parsalel anonai, whatever this means, he covered her with his anonim, and he made her the constellation of Pesula. Right, we know that's one of the constellations. Wow. It's Pesula, so that is her. See what you? But these malachim had to wait these thousands of years until right here, and this is where they were able to get up Azazok the Rush, Beshem the Mandrish. The pasuk says, "Vayozar kafara aretz," that you'll be like the dust land. For us, yom came, and then you spread out. What does one have to do with the other? This is important. The Klei Yakar says that when Bnei Yisrael is machnia themselves like dust, that's when they will have the schos to spread all over with Hashem's help. Back when I heard this shir was when there were tons of rockets going on in Eretz Yisrael, and it was then that there were these iron domes that consist of basically nothing. How they shoot, it's like a delay. It looked like you're able to see one from Saratskin. It was like an old dilapidated machine that was shooting these things down. Anyway, America gave them rishus during the Gulf War. Eretz Yisrael wasn't allowed to use anything, and yet we know what happened during the Gulf War. Nothing. And yet in Eretz Yisrael, during this time, everyone's shooting rockets. Baruch Hashem, they got most of them. But what's pshat? Because when America didn't learn anything, so then there was no hope. That's when Hashem is going to shine through. When Klai Yisrael realizes there's no hope, like the offer, then Hashem is going to shine through and carry them through. But if Klai Yisrael is not being machnia themselves, okay, so good. Here's an iron dome. Here's a seemingly...
Just sit around and...
When there's no hope? This? There's no hope? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
What's called the Briskarov, everyone was running during World War II to the bomb shelter, and he had a very agitated look on his face. And then all of a sudden it was gone, and he wasn't leaving. So they asked him, what's going on? How come you're not coming? So he said, because I don't know at this point where would necessarily be better to run. And none of those might be safe anyways. So therefore, what's the difference between all of them? I'm going to stay right here. Not only that, Hashem is obviously saying that I'm taking care of this one. Whatever happens is up to him, so I don't have to be agitated. Yeah, Mamash had a peace, calm, serene going on. Okay, Yaakov wakes up in the morning. He says, if I would have known, I would not have slept. What is that supposed to mean? Yaakov got everything here. If you're Medayik from Rashi and Chazal, he's saying everything. You're going to be guarded forever. You're going to get Eretz Yisrael, your children. Everything is going to go on and on and on and on and on. Nitzchis, he's getting, like we're saying from the Ramban that he showed him about the Gullius, is amazing. How could it be that he's saying that if I would have known that this was the Makom Kadosh, I wouldn't have slept. How could that be? So many famously say, I heard it first, B'Shem Rav Shach, that Lamaisa, for one Aveira, a clean Aveira of Meir Mikdash, nothing else is worth it. Nothing. You have to spend all your money in the world in order to not be Aveira Aveira. So therefore, Yaakov is saying, yeah, would it have been better to have for sure of nothing and me not willingly do an Aveira? The question on this obviously is that it says Vayashkim Yaakov Abaker. It seems like he went back to sleep. So, as an answer to that, perhaps one can say, is that Onkelos says on this Vayash game, he says, Va'atim Yaakov etzafra. Perhaps it doesn't mean that he got up. Perhaps it's just saying that Vayash game is a lashon of dealing with early in the morning. It says by Shmuel also, Shmuel, when Shaul was taken away from king, being king, by the mice with Amalek, so Hashem says to him, Shaul's done. Shmuel, it says, cried the whole night. Vayash came Shmuel Babaiker, and he goes to find Shaul. I thought he was crying the whole night. What does that mean? Okay, so he could be matcha one or the other. You could say the Vayash came doesn't necessarily mean that he slept and got up. It means he's dealing with early in the morning. Okay. Oh. Vayitzik Shemen al Reisha. Where do you have this oil from? I thought Eliphaz took everything. So some of the Farshim say that there was an ace that Yaakov looked around. He found that there, and that's Agav. That's why he knew that it was supposed to be used in order to pour on top of the rock. Fine. But there's a Shachal Terah. This is not the same Shachal. Al Shulchan Aruch. The Shachal Terah says that it says in next week's parsha, Vayivaser Yaakov Levadoi, that Yaakov was left alone. Vayivaser Yaakov Lechadoi. You should read it. In other words, that he left his kad. What's this kad? That he woke up in the morning after the dream and he saw there was a kad shem in there on the oven, and he poured it and he saw that it refilled itself. And he realized that this is not something to leave. And this is the shemen that they use for the Mishkan, the Kalim, the Mizbeach, for Aaron, for Kohen Gadolim, for the kings. And it's still total. It's still fully around, like it says in the Yerushalmi Shkalim Vav Aleph Zeli L'Dayri Seichem. In other words, that it's going to last forever. And this is the Kad Shemen of the Tzarfasis that we just had in the Aftaris. Yo said, "Don't worry, it's Kad Shemen Loi Techser." Basically the oil. Don't worry, the oil will last you. And the oil kept filling over into all the Kalim. It was this same one. And when Yaakov realized that all these nisim are in it, Mimel, that's why in Parshas Vayishlach he was misakin himself to go back, even though he had to end up dealing with Sar Shalesov over there. That's why he went back for it. There's a Birkas Shmuel and Parshas Miketz that says this was also that which they found in the Mei Chashmonaim. Was also this. And that's what lasted for the 8 days. Panach Raza says that he had filled his stick with oil in order to learn Torah at night. That would fit with the Rambam that says that we learn from Yaakov Avinu the Torah Balayla, that Avada, the main Torah, is Bayayim, but even so, how much chashivas there is to the Torah Balayla. Yaakov Avinu says to Rachel later in the Parsha that Yaakov is having kids with Leah, and Rachel's not having any kids. So she says to Yaakov, what's going on? Havali bani v'mayim meisanaychi. Give me kids, and if not, I am like I'm dead. Vayichar af Yaakov v'rochel. Yaakov had anger at Rochel. Vayoymer, and he said, Hasachas l'kim anaychi, am I under Hashem, asher mona mimeich privaten, that I was holding back from you the privaten. And then it says, Bilhah, and very nice. What happened? What's going on here? Not only that, we know that Chazal have a taina on Yaakov Avinu. That's how you sekach oinelam ikos. That she's crying to you and you get angry at her and start talking to her like this. So of course, at the end of the day, it still is going to be a Chazal's tain on Yaakov and his level. But at least Rabbi Yerucham wants to answer that we see from here, we see from Yishmael, that Tefillah is totally in the one who actually needs it. Yaakov wasn't trying to be mean to her and say, I already have kids, you don't. He was trying to say to her, you got to be the main davener over here. Of course I can daven for you. But you know what? Asher mona mimeich privaten, I have kids. You're the one who doesn't. You're the one who needs to specifically daven. And that's why later on, when she finally has Yosef, it says, Vayizkar lekim esrachel vayishma eleha elekim. What happened to Yaakov? You think Yaakov wasn't dominating? Of course Yaakov was dominating for the kids. But it says Hashem listened to her because she finally realized that she's the only one that can actually get this going. Just like by Yishmael, that even though it seems like Hagar is the one crying away when Yishmael's dying, but Lamaisa, Kishom alekim al kal hanar v'asher usham. Hashem listened to Yishmael, and that's why Yishmael got saved, because he realized that he had to daven at that point. Leia has a taina on Rachel when she wants the nudoim hamat kach teches ishi as ishi. You're trying to take my husband. What does it mean, my husband? Rachel did Leia the biggest favor in the world, making sure that she doesn't get embarrassed. She gave her the signs so that there wouldn't be confusion and any embarrassment till the next morning when it's not in front of everyone anymore. And Leia has the chutzpah to go turn around years later and say, you're taking my husband. Well, where's her akar satayv? What's going on? So Shom Shadron said, you see from here how great, really, really, really much of a tzadekes Rivka was. I'm sorry, Rachel was. Leia didn't even know what Rachel had done for her. Rachel told her, come, let me tell you halachas of what the woman has to do in the house. So Yaakov didn't say to her, what are the signs? Yaakov said to her, what are the halachas of the house? So she told him. She had no clue that Rachel had done her any favor of giving over any signs. She had no clue about the whole thing. How great is Rachel? That's why Rachel is going to be the one that's going to be able to turn back the geula and tell Hashem, no, don't turn me away. Because I gave up. I didn't just give up everything. I gave up everything quietly. What a lesson this is for us, that when we do things, how we have to, when we give up something, we shouldn't say, oh, you know what I gave up for you? No. That ruins the whole thing. And not only that, other Mepharshim go ahead over here, Stamazai, and say, what do you mean?
That she with the most fertile of all the Amamos. And she was the most fertile of all the Amamos. Everybody else, I mean, all the other women had difficulty.
So first of all, we know the Parsha says that Eni Le Rakas, right? Because she cried all day, is the Parsha Pshat. She cried that she thought she was going to marry Esav. That's why her eyes were soft. One of the Pshatim does say that she used to stare all day at a Tas Zahav, at a golden plate, a plated thing, that said on it, Torah Tziva. And she wanted that. She wanted Torah. So since she cried her heart out for it every single day, so that's one. So it could be that's why she was able to be Maimon half the Shvatim. Another possibility is, like she says in all the names, that Hashem saw that I was hated.
Sorry, one more time.
So in her embarrassment, and no, what she had to deal with, so it could be that's like schar that she got all that. That Hashem's giving her, and to throw onto that, not necessarily as a maybe it's a different answer, maybe not, is that we always know Elikim Yivakesh is a nerdav, that Hashem will always help out the one who is being run after. So seemingly over here, right, Rachel comes in, sweeping in as the Akaras Habayis, as the beloved one in the house. So that's why Hashem opened up for Leah and closed up for Rachel. The first thing we had been saying was that this that Leah cried was not the usual pshat, that she thought she was going to marry Esav, and from sadness, but rather from more tefillah and wanting of, that she used to stare at a golden plate that said on it, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, that she wanted to have a shaychus to the Torah. So that's why she was able to marry Yaakov and perhaps have all these shvatim. It says later on in the parsha where it's talking about the schar again, the mamash, there are tens and tens and tens of times. It's very confusing how to work out the schar with the sheep of Yaakov and love and what once he wanted, what once he got. How it, right? Yaakov even says he switched it 100 times on me, Aseres Meinim, which the Mepharshim says 100 times. So, but one thing it does say in there is that the atufim will be love and akshurim liYaakov. So they bring a remez from there, that this is a remez that your talis goes before your tefillin. Atufim lalav and ituf is a lashon what we do with the talis. That goes, and that's lalav on the white talis. Vakshurim liYaakov is the kshurim, in other words, the tefillin that we tie is Yaakov, is akev, in other words, it's afterwards. There's a remez that the Atar Zekena brings down in the beginning of his tefillin. There's another remez that what it says in Parsh Lechem, Michut Vatzrech Nal, that first goes the chut, first goes the string of the talis, and afterwards goes the strap, that's the strap of the tefillin. Right? Now Yisachar is born in this week's Parsha, right? Now the Chassidim say Yisachar, but we say Yisachar. How come? So...
Who says Yisachar?
The Chassidim. The Chassidim say Yisachar. The Dasakanim explains that there are two sins. One is for Nasan Lekim Schari, that Hashem gave my reward. And the second thing is for the Schar in payment that I gave up the Dudaim to Rachel. So those are the two sins, two rewards that she got. But since one of them doesn't have such a nice connotation because it's not nice to Rachel that it sounds like what Rachel gave up and look what Rachel lost for giving up Yaakov that night. So therefore, that's why we don't pronounce one of the. That's why we pronounce the second shin, the second sin, second one. Well, whichever one you want to say. Yaakov, before he leaves, Hashem tells him, go. And yet, he still says, flee from love and back to Eretz Yisrael. Yet, he still calls Rachel and Leah out to the field. He tells them a whole spiel. Do you know what your father's done to me? How good I've been to him? It seems like there's nothing left for me over here. And they agree, of course, there's nothing left for us. Let's go. I don't understand. Hashem said, go. You got to go. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? So the Shlosh says a big yisoid, whether in Shalom Bayis, with Talmidim, Peron Machaver, if you want someone to do something, then get them to want to do it on their own. Present it to them in a way that they're not being told to do it, they're not being forced to do it. The best way is that a problem should be presented to them, and then, oh, they say, it's clear we should do this. Of course, that's what you knew the whole time. That's what Yaakov was trying. Yaakov knew that Rachel and Leah would be behind him. Of course they would listen to him and listen to Hashem. But the full going behind, that is what he was looking for. The Pittsburgher Rebbe gave a nice mashal.
The Pittsburgher Rebbe?
No, about every city's got one. No, but he's real. He's a real Rebbe.
In the early days of the Mishmar, I think it was Rabbi Davis, I'm not sure. He came, he said, he goes, I always wanted one of those names. He goes, I lived here in Miami. He goes, Miami Rebbe?
Yeah.
He goes, the Rebbe of Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
And then you get the Opalaka Rav. I remember that.
Exactly. The Opalaka. Yeah. Yeah. But Gitzah, so he said, right, that Lavan tried so many times to switch Yaakov's schar in order to best him out, and still he didn't go. So he said he was once in a car, and he saw two steering wheels. So he said to the father, why do you have two steering wheels? So the father said, it's very simple. Every single time my kid used to reach over and try to pull the steering wheel to pretend he was driving, and I always used to get in huge accidents. Now, Mela, I built him his own steering wheel. He thinks now he's steering the car from his seat, and really has no clue that I'm running the whole thing. So too, no matter what we do, you see from Yaakov's pointing out about Lavan, and for us also, no matter what we do, how much, how little, Lamaisa, ultimately at the end of the day, as long as we do the proper Shabbos, Hashem is going to provide what we need to make it through. Okay, we'll end off with the Yom HaMachadim. Yeah, that the days passed very quickly for Yaakov is apparently what the Teich is. And the question is, what does that mean? It took 7 years. And not only that, he loved her. So generally, that should seem to take even longer than 7 years. So Chizkuni says that Yaakov looked at it as, wow, you only asked me for 7 years? He loved her so much that I would have done even more. Baruch Hashem, he only took 7 years. Wow, that's a beautiful thing. Some of the other Mefarshim say, the Radak says that after the 7 years, it was Kal Be'enav, as if he had only worked 7 days. But you have the other Mefarshim saying that Avada, during it itself, Avada, it was extremely long. It was after the fact, then it seemed like it had been very, very quick. A guten Shabbos.